Let's get our Bibles this morning. Good to see everyone here in the house of God. So good to be here. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 28. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 28. Amen. God's been good to us. God's been so faithful to us. Amen. And He gives us an opportunity, praise God, to pray and to communicate with Him. All right, somebody said amen if you're there. Amen. All right, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 28. Now this is Solomon praying in the temple at the dedication of the temple. And we'll see as we go through the Word of God that as Solomon prayed, I'm not going to do it this morning, I may not be able to get back up, but Solomon got down on his knees and he put his hands up in the air. Now I want you to picture it this morning. He was on his knees with his hands in the air and he began to pray. And that's what we're reading here this morning. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 28. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee to thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Praise God. He prayed. And I want to look at the prayer that Solomon prayed. And there are seven different things that Solomon, the third king of Israel, prayed for. And he asked God to intervene in these seven different areas. I believe tonight that the answer to any situation we may face in our life is going to God in prayer. Praise the Lord. You have not because you ask not. Amen. I believe in prayer this morning. Let's ask the Lord to help us right now. Father, we thank you for the good word of the Lord, and we ask you to open our minds and our hearts to it. Touch us today. Give us strength. Give us understanding and wisdom in the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name this morning. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Praise God. Good to see everybody here today in the house of the Lord. I think sometimes we often miss the power and the results of prayer. And we get misconceptions about prayer. And we get to the place where we don't feel like it actually works. But I'm telling you this morning that prayer works. It really does. The word prayer in the Bible is found 107 times. That's a lot. And it gives me the feeling this morning, it leads me to believe that God is very interested in our prayers. The Lord wants us to pray. And the Lord wants to answer our prayers. Amen. Solomon built this house for the Lord. David, his father, laid up the materials for the house of God. And Solomon was the one who built the house of the Lord. And it was finally constructed. You need to spend some time reading about the construction of the temple. It was very magnificent, and when it was finished, it was made out of polished limestone. It was white in color, and they said from miles away you could look at the city of Jerusalem, and that temple looked like a snow-capped mountain. Amen. That was the glory of that original temple. There were cedar beams, and they were carved with curious art, the Bible says. And it was very magnificent. It was very beautiful. It was something that was great for a great God. Amen. And I think that we need to do the very best that we can do with the house of God that He's given to us. Amen. Amen. I like the comment of our missionary Wednesday night, our missionary to Mexico. We'll be talking more about that next Sunday, which is Mission Sunday. And Brother and Sister Wakefield, we went out with them and we got to visiting and fellowshipping. And before we knew it, it was midnight. And we were, the folks at Applebee's were waiting for us to leave. Amen. But we got talking about a lot of different things. And, you know, there's just something about our God. He is a great God. Amen. And whatever we do for God is something that we ought to do our very best in. Amen. The temple was built in the quarries. All of the stones were cut and polished in the quarries. And then they were brought to the site and they were constructed on the site. The Bible says that the temple was built in silence. There was no sound of a hammer. There was no sound of a chisel. There was nothing like that. But it was built in silence. Amen. Because they wanted it to be a solemn thing. They wanted it to be a very beautiful thing. But there's more to it. I guess what I meant by the missionary, I liked what he said. He said, boy, this place looks like, he asked me, he says, is this all brand new? Have you just done this? I said, no, it's been probably 12, 15 years since we've done this. He said, it looks brand new. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for those of you that honor the house of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And you honor the house of God. You don't leave your trash behind when you leave the church. Amen. All right? Because why? This is the house of God. This is the place where we come to worship. This is a holy place. Amen. We've dedicated it to God. And because of that, it is a holy place. And Solomon finally saw the end of the temple, the end of the building of the temple, and he dedicated it with a prayer. On his knees with his hands lifted, he talked about coming toward this place and to hearken unto prayer, the prayer of the people. Amen. And the scriptures that we read, verse 28, 29, and 30, you'll notice that prayer shows up there in a number of places. Amen. And not just prayer, but hearing, where God would hear the prayers that were prayed in this house, and not only in this house, but toward this house. Amen. It became a thing in Israel that if they were in another country or in another place and they could not go to the temple, they would turn toward the temple. They would turn in the direction of the temple and they would pray toward that place that they had hallowed before God. Amen. Jonah in the whale, he turned himself toward the temple. Now, I don't know how he managed to do that, but in his mind, as he turned to pray, as his head was covered with the weeds of the dark, you read the story of Jonah and what he did in that belly of that fish. Amen. He turned himself and he began to pray. And when he prayed, God heard his prayers. Praise God. Folks, we have need of prayer today. And if I got a plow this morning, I'm going to plow a little bit. But there are some very powerful things. I considered whether or not to use the chalkboard this morning. And if you'll just write down these things and take them home and consider these things, I believe it will help us in our prayer. I believe that everything we need can be found in prayer. Amen. The answer to it. Solomon prayed, and we read the scriptures there, and then he continued in his prayer. If you're there in 1 Kings chapter 8, let's go to verse 31, and he talks about oaths that are made. Amen. Oaths that are made. And he said, he says here in verse 31, if any man trespass against his neighbor and hath an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven and do. Everybody said do. And judge. Everybody said judge. And judge thy servants, condemning the wicked, to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. And I looked at that, and I was a little bit confused by that. The wording there doesn't really describe it that well. But as I began to look at it, I began to see the powerful situation here, where prayer was involved and where oaths were made. Amen. And so when we come to God and there is wickedness in the land, there's wickedness in the land, folks. And because there is wickedness, there is going to be injustice that takes place. There are going to be situations. We was in Bible study yesterday morning at the assisted living, and one of the residents began to talk to me about her life and her children. And she said 2009 was a very difficult year for her. Her husband passed away in that year, and it was in that year that there was a home invasion of her son and family. I believe it was her son and her granddaughter, and they killed her son, 33 years old. He was murdered in his own house by, they said it was probably related to drugs and that sort of thing, or theft. And she said that was a very, very hard year. And not only is there wickedness in our world, amen, but there is injustice that will take place between brethren of like precious faith. And that's what Solomon was making reference to here. He talks about a situation where wickedness may take place in the house of God, one against another, and injustice is taking place. But there may not be any witnesses. There may not be any situation where judgment could be brought against an individual, because there had to be witnesses, there had to be a court hearing, and then a sentence that had to be taken place. And if there was an accusation and the individual that was accused claimed his innocence. Now, in our day today, everybody claims innocence. Amen. I know some of the officers in our town. I was a chaplain at the police department for 4 years. And so I know some of the police officers in our city here, and there was a couple of them at Walmart, and I knew what was going on at Walmart. And one of them was walking by our vehicle as we were getting ready to leave the parking lot, and I rolled down my window and I said, "I didn't do it." And he smiled real big and he said, "Good. That's one less person we've got to interview." And he went on his way. Amen. Because there was a theft that had taken place, and they were going to judge the situation. And I told the other officer who was in the store, I said, "I didn't do it." And he said, "That's what they all say." I said, "No, I really didn't do it." He said, "They say that too." Amen. And everybody's innocent. And there was a situation here where there were no witnesses, no security cameras, no recordings. There was nothing that they could say, "This person did this to me," or "This person defrauded me," or "They took my money and they will not pay it back." And there was a situation here where Solomon set up this oath. And an oath was, if there was an accusation against an individual, they would come into the house of God. And the individual that was accused had the opportunity to make an oath and to say, before God, I did not do this. Amen. Now I'm telling you, you can go before a judge and you might have the right words to say and convince the judge. You may be able to convince a jury of innocence when in fact there is real guilt. But I'm telling you what, this morning, you're never going to fool God. You're never going to fool God. Amen. God knows what has gone on in this world. He has everything written down in His book. Praise God. And when we pray, everybody said, we pray. When we pray, amen. If you have had money stolen from you by a brother or a sister, if you've had a business situation that has gone afoul, oh, dear Lord, help us. Had a couple of men in a church that I pastored out on the East Coast, and they were always at odds with each other. One was a plumber, and the other one was a carpenter, and they worked on jobs, different jobs together, and they would make an agreement, I'll do this for you if you'll do this for me. And they wrote their contract down on the back of a paper sack. Amen. And then when one didn't follow through with what he said he was going to do, the other one got angry at him, and they were mad at each other for a while. I'll tell you what, you got to be real careful. Amen. Bible says if you loan money, don't even expect it to come back to you. Just mark it down as an offering. Amen. As a gift. And if it comes back, you're better off. But if it doesn't come back, you're okay as well. Well, praise the Lord. Things happen sometimes, and doesn't mean that it's right, but it does mean we have recourse. Amen. Do we really believe in prayer today? Do we really believe when we go before God and we bring our cause before the Lord and we say, Lord, this is not right. I have been done wrong. Can we leave it there and be satisfied that everything is going to be taken care of? I'm telling you, Solomon prayed this prayer. Amen. And he said, hear in heaven, and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justify the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. And so the prayer that is prayed, God hears in heaven. Amen. And that doesn't mean that we pray, God, get them. Amen. That doesn't mean we pray that God will kill them. Amen. It doesn't mean that we pray that they're going to go down. And in fact, the Bible says if we rejoice when our enemy falls, that it's not a good thing. Amen. Because we could find ourselves in that position as well. All have sinned. Amen. We've all fallen under this condemnation. Amen. And sometimes what we need to do is just come clean and confess to God and to the person that we've done it to. Amen. And just get things right. Praise God. But if that's not a possibility, amen, prayer is the answer. Because if there is wickedness, God will judge the wickedness. If there is righteousness, God will bless the righteousness. He will. You know why? Because God hears prayers. God hears prayers. And then we go down to verse 33. That was number one in verse 33. And we talk about here when the enemy comes and does harm. Kings chapter 8 and verse 33, when thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. Amen. Well, praise God. There's going to be a time in Israel, he said, where they sin. Solomon was a very wise man, and he knew the people that he ruled over, and they were a stiff-necked people. They were a rebellious people. They were a people that turned away from the right way. And yet, even though they were in that situation, it would almost seem like it was hopeless, that there was no hope for them because of their way, because of their attitude, because of their rebellion against God. But Solomon said, there is a remedy for this. Amen. Amen. There is a remedy. And he said, if the enemy comes and takes over, I thank God that we live in America today. I'm glad that we don't have Russia at the border of our country lobbing missiles over here and waiting for an opportunity to come in and to attack us. I can't imagine what it would be like to live like the folks in Israel live today, where on every border around them, there are enemies. And they have publicly stated, we want to destroy you. We want to push you into the ocean. Amen. I don't know what it's like to live that way, but there is one thing that I do see in the scriptures, and that is that David, I believe, said, in this I know that thou favorest me, in that my enemies do not triumph over me. Praise God. Well, we don't have that kind of an enemy today, but we do have an enemy, and he is a formidable force, and he is called Satan. Amen. We have an enemy that is against us, and he's just waiting for that opportunity to come and to bring you down. Amen. And if he comes and all of a sudden you're smitten down before him, you know, the Bible says the righteous will fall seven times. But there is something in the nature of the righteous. He's going to go and find a place to pray. Amen. He said he will fall seven times, but he gets back up every time he falls. And we can use that as a measuring stick, that when we fall, it means that, you know, we're not going to blame the devil for it. We're going to turn around and we're going to say, God, I have sinned before you. And that is why the enemy has come against me and has prevailed against me. Amen. I don't feel like this morning that I have any person that is my enemy. Maybe there are those that feel that way about me. I don't know. But I'm telling you this morning, I feel like the devil is the biggest enemy that I face. But not only is the devil the enemy that I face, I am the enemy that I face. I'm not going to blame the enemy. I'm going to blame my lack of spirituality, my lack of prayer, my lack of being close to God. Because really, through prayer, and I'm preaching sincerely this morning, with prayer and through prayer, God can reveal everything we need to us. Amen. About us. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. If God be for us, that word if is a big word right there. And God is for us when we are pleasing to him, and when we are walking in righteousness, and when we are striving to do the will of God, and we are finding a place of prayer on a regular daily basis, amen, to talk to our God and to inquire before him, amen. I believe that we can be victorious. I believe that we are conquerors. But the Bible says we are more than conquerors. Earthly conquerors conquer other people, but we are more than conquerors in that we have conquered ourselves. Well, praise the Lord. How do I do that, Pastor? Well, there's a lot of ways to do it, but the most powerful that I know of is prayer. Somebody said prayer. Prayer. Amen. And then he goes down to verse 35, and he goes to the third aspect of prayer that he felt was so very important, and I believe we should as well. And he talks about when the heaven is shut up, verse 35 and 36. When the heaven is shut up, not if, but when. Everybody said when. When. It's going to happen in your life. It's going to happen in your walk with God. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee. There again is that thing of sin. You almost got the feeling that Solomon didn't trust his people. Amen. It was almost as though, you know what, they're going to do this, they're going to sin, they're going to fall away. But what we've got to understand is that that is the thing that we fight against probably the most, is the temptation to sin. And if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. Amen. Oh, praise God. We've got to check ourselves. Spiritually, we've got to check ourselves. And we don't understand this thing about no rain. And if we don't have rain, we're not going to be able to eat, and we're going to barely get by. We just go to the grocery store. Amen. We swipe our card, and we walk out. Amen. And it's so convenient. It's so easy. We can go to our store here in either Walmart or Dillon's. Used to be an IGA here in town, and you can go in there and buy stuff from South America. You can buy fresh produce from South America or Mexico or California, and it's available all the time. Amen. I wonder how many times we think about that and how we can get a can of peas for 50 cents, and somebody's making a profit off of that. How we can make the cans and put it in there and pay the labor and do all the things that that it takes, amen, to have a frozen section where you can have fresh vegetables, and all you got to do is pop it in a microwave for a few minutes and you've got fresh vegetables to eat. Amen. We don't understand what he's talking about here, not in a physical sense. But you're going to experience this in a spiritual sense. And the heavens are going to be stopped. How many's ever been walking with the Lord and all of a sudden the heavens just kind of became brass? And when you prayed, it seemed like your prayers went up and bounced right back down. Amen. Well, if you haven't been there, just hang on and walk a little bit further down the road, and you're going to find yourself in that situation. And you're going to have to say, Lord, what's going on here? Amen. I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord, I experienced this just about a year or so into walking with the Lord. All of a sudden, I went to prayer, and I did not feel God. Up to that point in time, if I called on his name, I just felt his presence, and I knew he was right there. And all of a sudden, I called his name, and there was no presence there. There was no feeling that God was near and God was close. Maybe some of you this morning don't even understand what I'm talking about, but you can walk close to God. Amen. You can. You can walk close to God. When you're praying and when you're seeking his face, he draws near to us. And it went on for a month, and it went on for several months, and I became really afraid. I became scared. I thought, I'm doing something that God is not pleased with. And it went on for a year, and then it stretched into 2 years. And I thought, I wonder if this is the way it's supposed to work. I didn't have anybody that I felt like I could go and talk to. It was just me and my experience with God. And finally, I got to a place of desperation, and I went to God in prayer. I was praying the whole time, and yet this time I got to a place of desperation where I had to have God, and I was going to make a fresh and a new commitment to God. And I got on my knees and I said, God, I'm telling you right now, when I gave my life to you, however much time it was, I was serious. I made up my mind. I was not fooling. I was serious when I gave my life to you. And God, I want you to know, if you never answer a prayer, if I never feel you the rest of my life, I'm thankful for what you've done for me, and I will serve you no matter what. And when I prayed that prayer, the Holy Ghost just came all over me. Praise God. And the next time I prayed, God was right there. And His presence came back to me. Amen. It was something inside of me that I needed to deal with. It was something inside of me that I needed to commit. I had to get to that place of desperation. I had to get to that place where God was the most important thing in my life. Praise God. We cannot serve God by half-hearted, amen, half-baked prayers. Amen. We cannot be close to God just by saying thank you, Jesus, once a day. Amen. There's got to be a time that we talk to God. Come on, somebody, help me this morning. I know I'm stepping on some toes here this morning, but it is absolutely essential. It is life-saving. Amen. We have got to find a place of prayer on a daily basis. We have to. Because if you don't, the enemy's waiting right outside the gates. Amen. If you don't, the enemy is waiting to come and to take something out of your salvation experience. Praise God. He may not take it all away, but He'll take a little bit of something out of the way. Amen. That deliverance that you had at salvation, He'll come along and He'll put it in front of you again and say, why don't you try it? It really wasn't that bad. Hey, listen, it's just the enemy trying to take you back out into bondage. Praise God. The only way we can be free from these things is through prayer. Thank God for prayer this morning. Praise God. And then he says here in verse 37, and he talks about the plagues. Everybody said plagues. Well, we don't even understand that here in America. We used to. They had plagues of locusts. My mother-in-law used to talk about when the locust would come. They lived out in Greensburg, out on the farm, several miles out of town. And she said she remembers when the locusts came. And the locusts just covered the ground. And there were so many of them that you could literally hear them eating. You could hear them chomping on the corn or the wheat or whatever it was that was growing in the field. And then it was almost as though they were in tune with each other. All of a sudden, all of them would fly up and they would fly away. And there would be nothing left of the crops or very little of the crops. Plagues. I thought it was very interesting here. Let's look at it. 1 Kings chapter 37. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, or if there be caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all the people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart and spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear thou in heaven and thy dwelling place, and forgive and do and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men. So there's a number of plagues here: pestilence, blasting, mildew, locust, caterpillar, and if they come and there's sickness and all of these things, these plagues. Amen. But I think it's very interesting that when Solomon prayed this prayer about the plague, this was a little bit different than the other ones. And that is that they would pray and they would know the plague of their heart. Amen. The plague of their heart. And so the plague that's in our heart, God will send a plague that is a representation of the plague that's in our heart. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. I think that's really interesting there that he did that. And there is a plague in the heart. Amen. And it is a mirror of the plague that we face sometimes. Not always, but it can be the mirror of the plague. Amen. And he said, we need to go here in heaven, in thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do to every man, give to every man according to his ways. Praise God. There is a God who hears and answers prayer. Amen. And that plague, oh God, help us here today. Amen. There is a plague that we're going to face in our lives. I pray that it would never happen. Amen. But it can happen. Oh, a spirit inside of you. Amen. That is controlling a portion of your life. I see people that it seems it's so difficult for them to pray. And it's so difficult for them to break through and to find the liberty in prayer. I'm telling you, if you have a difficulty this morning in praying and you can't seem to touch God like you want to touch God, and you don't feel like you have that real close relationship with God where he can speak to you and you can speak to him. Amen. It might just be that there is a plague. Amen. That you've got to deal with first. Praise God. There's something down on the inside. Maybe you don't really trust God in your heart of hearts. You're going to have a hard time praying to God if you don't really trust him. Amen. If you're not convinced that he has your best interest in his heart, you're going to have a difficult time in prayer. It's going to be a hindrance to you. Amen. If you're just flat out lazy, amen. I'm telling you, that's a reality. I taught a Bible study one time on the East Coast to two couples at the same time. They were related to each other, and we got all the way to the end of the Bible study, the very last Bible study, and folks were falling into the flames on the chart, and they were crying out to God, and there was such conviction that came into that home as I was teaching that last Bible study, and I could feel it so strongly, and we got finished. I finished the Bible study. The last word was said, and I just looked at them. They looked at me. We just kind of looked at each other for a minute. And I said, well, there it is. What are you going to do about it? And one of them said, well, it's too hard. It's too hard. She said, yes, it's too hard. I've decided I'm going to be lost forever. I'm not going to serve God. It's too hard. She didn't get a hold of the concept of it's not me doing it all, but it's God and me together. Praise God. And so I looked at her husband. I said, what about you? He said, you know my problem. He said, I'm just too lazy to get up on Sunday morning and come to church. You talk about discouragement. Amen. You talk about being discouraged. All those months of teaching Bible study, and they came to a conclusion. You know what? We're all going to come to a conclusion about prayer. And I could go along here this morning, and I could ask each of us, don't worry, I'm not going to. All right? And I could say, what about you, Garrett? How do you feel about prayer? Amen. Nathan, how do you feel about prayer? And we could bring out the reality. It's reality how you feel. Amen. It's real. God knows, He knows our thoughts. He knows us very intimately, and you can't fool God. Amen. You can't fool God. I've seen folks that pray, and in the church they'll pray, and if it gets a little bit not as noisy as they wanted, they'll just start beating on something, you know, to make more noise. That's not going to get the attention of God. I'm not being critical of them, but I'm telling you this morning, you can't just mechanically approach God and all of a sudden there He is. Amen. It's a heart-to-heart situation. Well, somebody help me this morning. It's a heart-to-heart situation. Amen. And there will be something. There will be a plague in there somewhere that you personally have to deal with. Nobody's going to be able to help you. It's between you and your God. I tell you, I'm trying my best to learn how to trust Him more. Amen. I want to know Him, as the Apostle Paul said, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. He said, I have not attained, but I am reaching for that goal. I'm reaching for a closer walk with God. I've told God recently, God, I want to get closer to You. And You promised that if I would seek You, that You would come and draw near unto me. Amen. I'm standing on the Word of God. I want to know my God better than I know Him right now. And I can't do that. I can't do that just by coming to church services. Well, praise the Lord. Can't do that just by reading the Bible. I can't do that by mechanical things that I know to do. It's got to be a time of prayer where I actually touch God and I know He's near and He's able to talk to me and show me His will for my life. Praise God. That's what Solomon was praying about. And then he talks about the stranger in verse 41. And I'm going to hurry here. I'm almost finished. Verse 41, about the stranger. Verse 41, there, moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake. For they shall hear of thy great name and of thy strong hand and of thy stretched out arm when he shall come and pray toward this house. This sounds like revival to me. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. Praise God. We just got to get everything in the right perspective, and I think Solomon did. We get frustrated sometimes when the stranger walks in the door of the house. And they come to the altar, and they receive the Holy Ghost, and maybe we even baptize them. They walk back out the door, and we never see them again. I remember one revival service where a young man sitting back about where Terry's sitting, maybe where Melissa's sitting, somewhere right back in there, and he had broken his arm. He came to church in a cast. His mother was a former pastor's wife, and he had run off with somebody else, and she was upset and all of that, understandably. But the young man, her son, had a broken arm. We went back to where he was sitting and prayed for him. And before God and everybody, God healed that young man of his broken arm right there in the service. He went back to the doctor the next day. The doctor said, "We don't know what's happened, but your arm is healed." And they took the cast off. Somebody met him a number of years after that. And he said, "I still claim that that was a divine healing that God gave me in that revival service." Somebody went to his mother and said, "Isn't that wonderful? God healed your son of a broken arm." Yes, it's wonderful. God answered the prayer of the stranger. Amen. And they said, "Well, we're still having revival services. We want you to come back." She said, "I'm not coming back." And we said, "Why aren't you coming back?" She said, "I don't want to get that close to God." That's not a condemnation of us. Amen. But that is a confirmation to us that God is in this house. That even when the stranger comes, praise God. If you're full of the Holy Ghost today, don't let the devil tell you that God doesn't hear you. God hears the prayer of the stranger to show the world that this is His people. Praise God. Had another young man come to service one morning. I believe it was Sunday morning. And he came to the altar at the end of the message, big tears just flowing down his face. And I went over to pray for him, and God spoke to me and said, his name is John. God told me his name right there. I don't understand all things that God does, but I prayed for him. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he said, I know the will of God for my life. I said, what is that? He said, I need to come here and be your song leader, your praise singer. I said, well, we need praise singers. Come on. Of course, he didn't realize that he had to live for God a little while. Amen. There's some requirements before you get on the platform. Praise God. But he never came back. God showed him his will. Maybe it was his will that he become a singer in the church. Praise God. Maybe God did speak to him, but he walked back out the door and we've never seen him again. Well, praise God. What is that? Friend, that's a confirmation that when we pray, God hears our prayers. How many of you, before you ever got the Holy Ghost and was baptized and didn't even know God, was out in the world and you prayed and God heard your prayer? I can lift my hand. God heard my prayer. And I was full of sin. I was full of iniquity. But God saw the sincerity of the heart. Folks, we've got to get excited about talking to God. If God will hear the prayer of the stranger, how much more the prayer of His children? Well, praise the Lord. Verse 44, if thy people go out to battle against their enemies, whithersoever thou send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen and toward the house which I built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. Praise God. How many has ever been involved in a battle, spiritual battle? Well, if you haven't, you will be. Amen. Spiritual battle. You know, in battle, there's strategic things that you've got to do. You don't just get your gun and go out there and start pulling the trigger and shooting people. That's not how you go into battle. No, there's psychological operations, psyops. They send in men. Before we went into Iraq and took over Baghdad and all of that, they sent in special forces to spy and to see what was going on. They didn't want to be surprised, and they went in, they spied out the land, and they came back and gave a report on what was going on. You know, if you're in a battle, amen, or if you're about to be in a battle, you need to know some good counsel before you go into that battle. Praise the Lord. You got to know whether or not to fight, first of all. And if you look in the Old Testament, there were many places where the Philistines rose up against Israel. And David, that wise king, he would go before the Lord. He would go to the prophet and he would say, Lord, shall we fight or shall we not fight? Somebody help me this morning. There's going to be a time in your life where you're going to have to make a decision. Do I fight or do I not fight? And there's times that the Lord says, go and fight. And when He says, go and fight, get after it. Amen. Because He'll be with you in that fight. But there are times that the Lord says, don't go. It's not time yet. And then there are times that the Lord says, don't fight. Let me fight for you. Amen. Praise God. I don't want to fight a battle that God would rather fight for me. Praise the Lord. And I certainly don't want the enemy of my soul. Praise God. I don't want him. I don't want to be in a fight with him unless the Lord says, go ahead and fight this battle. Amen. Because I've come to understand that if the Lord is not in it, you're not going to win no matter how hard you try. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. That's the importance of prayer. Amen. When we go to battle, we've got to pray and ask God, amen, to help us for direction and guidance in this particular battle. Amen. Maybe someone here this morning is fighting a battle in your life, and it's something that you've been fighting for a while. I'm here to tell you this morning that you can be an overcomer in this fight, but you got to learn how to pray and get direction from God. All right, lastly here, amen. Sister Reed, would you come this morning? Verse 46, it says, "And if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not," so this is for all of us, "and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto a land of the enemy, far or near, yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land where they were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, 'We have sinned and done perversely, we have committed wickedness,' and so return unto thee with all thine heart and with all thy soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, amen, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven." You know what that is? That's the prayer of the backslider. If God will hear the prayer of the stranger, and God will hear the prayer of a rebellious backslider, how much more will He hear the prayers of His children when they come against this, that, or the other? I'm telling you today, there can be a revival of prayer. Amen. There can be a revival of the stranger, a revival of the backslider, a revival of those that are in the camp. Amen. But having difficulties in different situations. I'm here to tell us this morning, prayer works. Amen. Your answer is prayer. Amen. We have been coming to the church 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock every night from January. And there's been a few nights that we've missed. And I've done my best to try. Lately, it's been difficult. But we have been praying in the morning time for an hour. You say an hour of prayer. When I say an hour of prayer, do you immediately say, "Oh, a whole hour of thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, praise the Lord"? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an hour of prayer. And the other night, in fact, it was last night, we were here praying, and we were praying, God was in this place, and we were making communication with God. And before you know it, a whole hour had passed. And I told my wife, "You know, it seems like in the beginning that an hour of prayer is a long time, and it's work, and it's difficult, and it's hard, and so on and so forth. But when you learn how to touch God, when you get in His presence and you come before Him, the hour just passes by so quickly. And when you're finished with that hour of prayer, oh, you feel so clean. You feel so good. You feel so blessed. Amen. Everything's going to be all right. You just feel like everything's going to be all right, because I've brought my supplication to my God, and He hears my prayer, and He knows where I'm at, and He's going to help me. Praise God. Can we stand together this morning? Can we stand together right now? Praise God. I'm thankful for the opportunity of prayer. Amen. I am. I'm thankful for the opportunity of prayer. I learned early on in my walk with God, and nobody told me I had to do this, but it was just a desire of my heart. I learned as a single young 19-year-old boy, I learned that if I could just find a place to pray. I got the Holy Ghost, but I wasn't happy with the experience that I had. I spoke in tongues a little bit, but there was no liberty. I didn't feel like I had liberty, like I was free. And so every day, on my lunch break, I worked for my brother-in-law in his welding shop, and it was on his property, and there was a little road that went down to a barn, and it was about half full of hay down there. And every day for lunch, instead of eating lunch, I would go down there and I'd pray for half an hour. And I would talk in tongues, and I would weep and cry before God. And I learned after I got the key to the church, I volunteered to be the janitor so I could get a key to the church. I wanted to get in there. And I would pray till midnight, even later than midnight, seeking God. Amen. It's not a hard thing when you're connected. Amen. It's not a hard thing. These young men on the front row, I'm sure you don't understand what I'm talking about, but you're going to understand what I'm talking about when that pretty little girl comes along and you're 19 or 20 and she's 18 or 19 or 20 and she's angelic and beautiful and she wants to talk to you and you've got permission to talk to her. And you go for an hour. You don't understand what I'm... You're looking at me like... But you're going to understand what I'm talking about. And when the hour's passed, you're going to say, oh, where'd the time go? Where'd the time go? Somebody said one time before you get married, you can talk on the phone for an hour and it seems like 5 minutes. But after you're married, for some reason, you can talk for 5 minutes and it seems like an hour. Well, somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you what, it ought not to be that way with our great God. Amen. It ought not to be that way with our great God. I love to talk to Him. Amen. And I've got to know that He's there. Is that how you feel this morning? I've just got to know that He's there. I want to come to His house. I want to inquire in His temple. I want to hear His voice. I want to hear His word, because that's the thing that resonates with me. That's what I need more than anything in all of this life. Amen. Let's pray together, can we? And let's ask God to help us. Come on, let's lift our voices to this morning and let's ask for God's help. Jesus, we need You right now. We need the touch of the Holy Ghost this morning. God, we need to know that You're near right now. Let us feel Your presence. God, let us know that You're close and that You care about our needs and our situation. You care about our sicknesses. God, You care about our afflictions. You care, Lord, about the plagues that are in our heart. Help us today, for we've got to have You. If we don't have You, we will not be saved, but we want to be with You for all of eternity. Help us this morning, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.